one that proudly thinks, I don't care what anybody thinks of me, I don't even care what God thinks of me. Well, then why even waste your time in hearing what the Word of God has to say about this? But if you're one who is concerned and says, you know, it really does matter to me what God thinks of me, I recognize I need to be concerned about that, then you need to hear this proverb. Because the writer of Proverbs sets out very clearly, here is the type of person God detests. Not a person that's detestable in God's eyes. And yet this is the kind of person that's a delight in God's eyes. So we might see what is delightful in God's eyes and that we might become delightful in the eyes of God. Let's take a look at the proverb itself. It's simple, it's short. It just says this, the perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their walk are His delight. The New King James puts it somewhat differently. It just says, those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are His delight. Let's kind of take this apart a little bit. First talks about those who are perverse in heart are an abomination. In the Hebrew, the word for abomination comes first, and it highlights it. It says, an abomination to the Lord is this kind of person. First, what's an abomination? Children, one of the only times you may have heard of that word is with the abominable snowman. Right? You've heard of that? What is an abomination? What do they mean when they talk about the abominable snowman or the abominable snow monster? An abomination is something that is detestable. It's something that is horrid. It's something that strikes one on kind of a very gut level of being repulsed by it. So the idea of the abominable snowman is he's terrible. He's horrible to even be before. And that's the idea here. That the perverse of heart are horrible in the sight of God. They're absolutely detestable in the sight of God. God is absolutely repulsed by this kind of person. That's what it means to be abominable in the sight of God. Now notice, it doesn't necessarily say those who are abominable before others. Some people who are abominable before the sight of God might be very well respected by our society. They might be the kind of people that the society looks up to. So the proverb is getting it. It really doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter how people view others. He's giving us the God's eye view here of what matters to God. And he says, in God's sight, no matter how well others may think of these people, they're absolutely detestable in the sight of God. And who are they? He says, they are the perverse of heart. What does it mean to be perverse? The word perverse means to be twisted or distorted. And so the twisted of heart are those who are in their innermost being. The heart in Hebrew has not the idea. We think of the affections. We talk about the heart as a place where you love people or care about or have an emotional response. Actually, to the Hebrews, that was found in the kidneys or in the bowels. What the heart was the source of the intellect and the will. It's what drove you. It was kind of the inner person. So those who are twisted in their inner person. And especially here, when we compare it to the next phrase of the righteous person, how they're described, it probably has the idea of mere of the person who is false, who is double-dealing. They're twisted in the sense that they're not what they appear to be. So what's in view here is not just the crass, wicked person, that you look at their actions, and it's obvious to anybody that they're wicked, how they live. It has more the idea of the person who seems to be all right on the outside. Seems to be okay, and that's why he doesn't talk about his actions. It talks about what he's really like inside. It says the person who's the hypocrite, the person who acts one thing, but in reality is something else. It's the person that in their heart is wicked. No matter how much they might seem pious or godly on the outside, it's someone who's putting on an act. You can think in the Bible here of the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Someone who, to everyone else, they were the heroes. They were the spiritual good guys. They're the ones that when you walked down the street or went to synagogue, you told your children, oh, I hope you can grow up to be like them. You know, you should imitate them. Because they looked so righteous on the outside. They seemed to have a real concern about the things of God, but in their hearts, they were wicked. In their hearts, it was all about them. They didn't care about God, which is why they rejected Christ. They wanted the applause of men and cared not what God thought of them. And that's the kind of person in view here. It's not the crassly wicked, and there's a sense of which, because that's obvious they're detestable in the sight of God. But here he's cutting deeper. The proverb, in a sense, is looking forward to what the Lord Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus would look and say, you know, you say, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, the one who lusts upon a woman in his heart has already committed adultery. You've heard it say, thou shalt not commit murder. I say, anyone who calls his brother a fool or hates his brother's heart has committed murder. So it's not just a New Testament thing that looks at our heart. The Old Testament did the same thing. And it's saying here, regardless of what it looks like on the outside, if the heart is wicked, that person is detestable in the sight of God, regardless of all their external good works, regardless of the show they are able to put on. The person who at heart is wicked, who is twisted, is detestable in the sight of God. And then he gives the flip side of it. The flip side of it is in the second half of the verse, where he says this, but the blameless in their walk are his delight. The blameless has this idea, not so much, we think of someone who doesn't do anything wrong, they're without blame. But here the idea is more, the Hebrew word is more the idea of someone who has integrity, who is whole. In other words, their life is just a reflection of their heart. They're not the hypocrite like we saw the detestable one. They're one who actually, their life reflects what their heart is like. And that's why it's interesting. He doesn't compare the one who's twisted in heart with the one who's upright in heart. He says the one who's twisted in heart and the one who is upright in their conversation or in their walk. Now he looks at their actions. So here is the person with integrity. Here is the person who lives who they are in their heart. Their fruit matches their root, we could say. They produce the fruit of the Spirit because their heart has been changed. That them walking in the ways of God is not an act. It's not trying to impress people. It's just the outworking of a work that God's already done in their heart. This is not the person who never does anything wrong, but it's the person who has honestly been born again by the Spirit of God, that's had a changed heart. And because their heart has been changed, the whole course of their life has been changed. So they walk in God's ways, not to impress others, but as a response to the grace of God. And that's what Jesus spoke about, isn't it? When he spoke about the Pharisees, he kind of compared them with the true Christian, the one who out of the fullness of their heart lives out godliness. Of the one who walks in God's ways because they love the Lord, not because they're trying to earn His approval. And it says these ones who have been changed of heart so they walk in the ways of God, they are the ones who are God's delight. They're the ones that the Lord takes delight in. But now you have to ask yourself a question. Which one are you? Are you the one who's perverse of heart, or are you one who's upright or blameless in your ways? Well, let's take the ones who are detestable first, the ones who are twisted of heart. Sadly to say, that's all of us left to ourselves. That's how we're born. Because of Adam's first sin and our own sin, we are twisted of heart. We have a bad heart. That's our basic problem, is we start from a bad heart. That we talked about this a little bit last week. I mean, the Apostle Paul says, there's none that seeks God. No, not one. There's none that does good. And he's just reflecting what was already spoken of in the Old Testament, in the Psalms it speaks of. When Paul uses those phrases in Romans 3, what he's doing is pulling phrases out of the Psalms, which talk about the poison of asps is under their lips. When he points about the wickedness of our hearts, he said, this is how it's been since Adam's fall. All of us left to ourselves are the twisted of heart. The best we could do is like the Pharisees, is to put on an act of righteousness, is to try to do some good deeds to cover up our wicked heart. But we're still wicked of heart. See, outside of work of grace, of the work of grace, the grace of God in our hearts, we are the wicked of heart. That's what the Bible again and again says in so many words, we must be born again. In the Old Testament, it talks about you need to be circumcised of heart. Then Jesus says we must be born again. Why? Because we need a new heart. We are twisted of heart because of Adam's sin and our own sin. All our own sin does is it twists it even more. It's like trying to fix a funhouse mirror which is twisted by trying to hammer it back into shape. All you do is break up the mirror now more. And all you've done is make it worse. Left to ourselves, that's all we do. We go from bad in Adam to worse throughout our lives. Which means outside of Christ, every one of us is detestable in God's eyes. She means no matter how much we may impress the people around us with our livelihood or wittiness or our intellect or our successes, in the eyes of God outside of Christ, we are all detestable. We are an abomination to God. He's repulsed by us. Well, who are the upright in heart then? Who are the upright in their way? They are those who have been born again by the Spirit of God. They are those who have been given a new heart by God in His grace. It's those who have heard of their sin, have cried out to God for mercy. And God in His mercy has poured out His Spirit upon them, enabling them to repent and believe. And being enabled by the Holy Spirit, they've come and embraced Christ and now partake of His righteousness. They've been given a new heart and a new will. It's no longer twisted. It's being remade each day after the image of Christ, more and more. And God looks upon them and for Jesus' sake says, I accept them. I see them as perfectly upright. Because what Jesus did counts for them. Those are the upright. But how do you know if you have an upright heart? That's why the proverb doesn't say upright of heart. It says the blameless in their walk. It says the only way you could know if you have this new heart is by looking at your life. A good tree produces good fruit, Jesus says. If your heart has been changed by coming to Christ, you will see it in your lifestyle. And that's the hypocrisy of the Christian says, I know my heart. I know Jesus loves me, and I know I love Jesus. Don't judge me by my actions. Just because I'm living in all kinds of sin, don't tell me that I haven't born again. Well, I'm not telling you, Jesus is. The proverb is telling you. It's not the person who claims to be upright in heart. It's the one who's blameless in their walk. The one who's living by the Word of God. Not perfectly, but honestly, sincerely. Keeping the Word of God to the best of their ability out of a heart that has been made right with Christ already. So how do you know if you're among the blameless in their way? You need to look at the way you live. Your lifestyle will not deny your heart. Your lifestyle should prove your heart. There was a saying once said, if you were accused of being a Christian in a court, would there be enough evidence to convict you? In other words, could people bring forward and say, I know this person's a Christian because look at how they live. How could you deny that they're a Christian? You see their lifestyle. What are you looking for in your lifestyle? You're looking for the fruit of the Spirit. That's what you're looking for in your life. Do you have love, joy, peace, patience, self-control? Are you finding that? Is that growing in your life? If so, then you're one of the blameless in their way. You've been given a new heart. See, as Proverbs sets before us how God sees you. What people think of you really doesn't matter, does it? There's a sense in which our modern society is correct in saying, in the end, what anybody else thinks of me, humanly, it doesn't matter. What God thinks about you matters. The proverb sets before you two groups of people. Those who are wicked in their heart and those who are upright in their way. It says those who are wicked in heart, God detests. They're an abomination to them. He hates them. Who are they? It's everyone who's outside of Christ. Everyone who has Adam as their head. No matter how much they make their life look good by trying to do good works, no matter how much they try to set up a facade of righteousness and goodness, they're detestable in the sight of God because their heart's never been changed. But it says, here's this other group. Those who are blameless in their way. Those who have recognized their sin, who saw, I'm detestable in the sight of God, and I don't want to be detestable in the sight of God. I want to be God's delight. And said, the only way I can be God's delight is to confess my sins and to be united to Christ by faith. So they've repented of their sins, they've come to Christ and received of His righteousness and say, now out of love for Him, I want to walk in His ways as much as the Spirit enables me. They're His delight. Which are you? When God looks at you, is He repulsed? Are you detestable in the sight of God in your sin? Or are you one who has come to Christ as evidenced by a pious life of walking with Him, and you're His delight? Which do you want to be? See, it's not too late as long as you still have breath in your lungs and a beat in your heart. If you recognize even this night that you've been living a lie, you've been trying by good words, you've been trying to clean up your act, but you recognize that you are detestable in God's sight because your heart is corrupt and wicked. Then cry out to Him for mercy. Ask Him for a new heart. Ask Him to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's where Jesus is. He says, well, if a son asks for bread, will his father give him a stone? He asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? And he says, of course not. And then what does he say? So will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? Ask God to be merciful to you. Ask Him to give you a new heart. He says, all will come to me. I will no wise cast out. You don't have to be detestable in the sight of God. Because God has promised to make you delightful in His sight. He hasn't told you to become delightful in His sight. He says, He'll make you delightful in His sight. How? By coming to Christ in repentance and faith. And walking in His ways. And if you have come to Christ, then how do you remain being a delight in God's eyes? By walking in His ways. By constantly proving to be a true son or daughter of the living God. By walking in His ways sincerely. Of a heart that's been changed. Are you detestable or delightful in the sight of God? Depends on how you stand with Christ. Outside of Christ, you're detestable. In Christ, you are His delight. And may you find your delight in Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Because of our own, we're detestable to You. And in all our efforts, Father, in all that we do, all we do is make ourselves more and more detestable in Your sight. But in Your great love and mercy, You make us delightful in Your eyes through the work of the Lord Jesus for us. Father, if there's any here who are still in Adam, still in their sins, in Your mercy, Father, give them a new heart. Take away their heart of stone or twisted heart. Give them by Your grace a new heart that would love You, that would cling to Christ by faith, that would obey You, not because they're trying to impress You, but because they love You and want to show their gratitude. May each one here, Father, be found delightful in Your eyes in Christ. And thus may You be glorified in each one. In the name of our Lord, we ask this. Amen. Now, let's conclude our time of worship tonight singing together hymn number 644.